afternoon. Welcome to Why Shamanism Now, a practical path to authenticity with your host, Christina Pratt, director of the Last Mask Center for Shamanic Healing. She's talking about how shamanic skills can bring us to physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual well-being, especially when nothing else can. Now, here's your host, Christina Pratt.
Welcome, everyone. Glad you've joined me here today on Why Shamanism Now. I'd like to call in the spirits. I've just spent a week on the Oregon coast in the deep ancestral healing work that we do in the courses that I teach. So I'd like first to honor the living who joined me this past week to heal the ancestral lines. I'd like to call in their spirits and honor them for their good, courageous, heartfelt work. I'd like to call in the ancestors who were courageous enough to allow themselves to be healed, those who carried deep patterns of betrayal, of lives unlived, of all of the hardship and the suffering of human life, war, despair, racism, sexism, all of these things carried in the ancestral line. I give thanks to those ancestors who were willing to greet their descendants and to become healed in this process. And my deepest heartfelt thanks goes out to all of those ancestral helping spirits, those who bring all that is good and true and beautiful in our ancestral lines to us, those who came to us to assist us in this work, that the living might exercise their true relationship with the dead, to free those who are stuck here, to go over to the land of the dead where they might return someday to their descendants as helping spirits as well. So to these ancestors, those who lived well and bring to us this great legacy of those who have gone before us, I give deep thanks and call them in here today to circle around us as we begin this series of the basics of living well in an energy body. So I call out to the energy of the earth, this deep, deep being, this first ancestor. It is on this planet that we all live in our understanding of what life means and its great diversity. And from a shamanic perspective, we give thanks to the earth for the amazing wonder and miracle of her dreaming that brought life to this planet as we know it. And today, as we speak to groundedness, we reach out to this energy of this earth that we call home, and we call out to her to join us, to help us to remember what it means to live in a grounded way on this planet. And we reach our energy up to the highest power of the universe, up to the sky and the great true young energies to call down protection to come around us here today that we might become vulnerable enough to hear something. Vulnerable enough to ask questions, to hear the longing in our body and our heart, and open enough to allow the answers to come through. We call out to the energies above to bring us blessing, to bring us the generosity of this amazing universe in which we live, and to feel the benevolence and the beneficence of this place that we call home. We call these sky energies down to meet with the earth in this place that we call home, in this place where heaven and earth come together, in this tiny crust of energy around this planet in which all life as we know it happens. And we call out finally to the energy of the heart, the energy that binds all these within the human, that draws up the passions of the belly and the clarity of the mind into the heart that we might know and express our soul's purpose in this day. May our proceedings here today support you in that endeavor. Welcome, everyone, to Why Shamanism Now. We're speaking today about the basics of living well in an energy body, and we're talking about grounding. So where does someone begin to be able to step into this deep ancestral healing work that I've just done with people this past week on the Oregon coast? Where would someone begin to be able to show up to heal their ancestors of deep embedded patterns that have rolled down through generation after generation after generation, created by the worst things humanity can do to each other? Where do you even begin? You begin today. You begin with this concept we will talk about today and explore and hopefully experience called grounding or groundedness. It's really not sexy, and I'm sorry about that. I haven't figured out how to make it sexy. But it is so fundamental and essential. It is the place that everything else begins. And without it, we begin all things on a flawed, shaky, crumbling foundation. And so today we discuss groundedness. So why are we even bothering? The reason we're bothering is because we live in an exquisite, amazing time in which great, deep, ecstatic teachings are pouring out of monasteries, of temples, of traditional cultures, that these teachings are available to anyone. Now, sometimes, okay, to those who can pay the money to go get them. But the point is, the esoteric teachings are more available, more broadly, and more diversely than perhaps any other time in recorded history. That's a great thing. There's a problem here, though. It used to be you, the one who wanted to learn, had to journey to that temple, that monastery, that teacher, that whomever. And along that journey, you had to sort out a few things about being an energy being, or you simply didn't make it. One of the primary things you had to sort out on the way to the temple was how to be grounded, how to be an energy being here in a good way without succumbing to stagnation and depression and without spinning off into fragmentation and being scattered. So there are many things like grounding. You learned along the way, or you just simply didn't make it to the monastery. You didn't make it to the temple. You didn't make it to the teachings. And so there are basic levels of teaching that really aren't part of the teachings because they never had to be. Because you had to figure it out to get in the door in the first place. And so now the doors are flung open, the teachings pour out, and you frankly don't have to know anything to begin to get them. This is exquisitely wonderful and a big fat problem. And the problem is it allows us to go forward with esoteric, exciting teachings without any foundation. And so this beautiful house that we build for ourselves has nothing rooting it into the earth, nothing giving it strength. So when the first earthquake comes through, the first tsunami comes through, this first storm, hurricane of life rattles through your life, that house goes down. When you need those spiritual teachings the most, they collapse. Why? Not because the teachings have anything wrong with them, but because there is no basics and foundation. So today, we're exploring the most fundamental piece of all the basics, which is groundedness. I have watched this be the piece missing when I watch advanced students or even other practitioners misstep. The misstep that ends to whatever the catastrophe is down the line is not taking the time or the energy to be grounded. It, like I said, it is just not sexy. There is no way to make it sexy. And so we don't want to do it. We're funny that way. And so we need to find a way to feel the healthfulness, the ecstatic simplicity in the stillness of grounding so that we can come to it. We need to find a way to make it sexy for ourselves so that we will come to it. Because I have seen advanced practitioners stumble over this. I watch my clients and students stumble over this every day. So what is grounding or groundedness? Let me sort of move along here. So a sense of being grounded or cultivating an energy of groundedness has to do with perhaps many layers or ways of experiencing this, but basically, in its most fundamental level, it's feeling your feet on the ground. But to feel your feet on the ground, you need to be in your body to feel your feet. To be in your body, to feel your feet, you need to get out of your head and be in your body. To get out of your head, to be in your body, you need to actually get into at least your head. And frankly, most contemporary Americans are not living in their body. They're living in their head or outside of their head, hovering around, scattered, distracted, multitasking far beyond a human capacity to actually engage with all of those things. Connected, hyper-connected technologically, and not breathing into the body. So actual groundedness, what we're really going to talk about today, goes beyond the ability to simply feel your feet on the earth. I mean, how many of you go through an entire day without actually feeling your bare feet on the earth? Many of us go from our home, in our shoes, to our car, from our car to our job, from our job back to our car, whatever means of transportation we're on, and back into the house again. Very few people, I mean, or many people can get through days without ever putting their feet on the earth. Because we paved a lot of it. We put stuff on it. There's not a lot of earth sticking up for you to put your feet on. And most of it's been pooped on by the dogs everybody's walking. So you don't want to put your feet on it. I mean, think about it. When was the last time you wiggled your toes in the earth, in the grass, in a stream running by, where you had your naked little feet out there enjoying the pleasures of nature? So what I'm saying is not you can't be grounded if you can't stick your feet out in nature. What I'm saying is if you don't get your feet out in nature, you need to think about, how am I going to ground? How am I going to compensate for the fact that I can't go walk around on the earth and feel my feet on the ground, breathe into that? But I need to figure out how to do it. So groundedness has to do with an ability, no matter what environment you are in and no matter what is going on, to feel your conscious awareness in your body, infused through your body, down from your tailbone and your feet into the earth and into the center of the earth, that you feel present within yourself and calm or still on the planet. So there is an aspect of groundedness that is of the body. There is an aspect of groundedness that has to do with you being present not only within yourself, but in whatever environment you are in, and extending that environment into nature. In other words, if you are on the 55th floor in a business meeting and things are going totally cattywampus, you can still imagine yourself in your body, on the chair, in the room in the building on the earth here, settling, stillness, to find that still point in your groundedness. It has to do with cultivating a relationship with the earth as a being, ultimately. Groundedness has to do with being in your heart in a good way. If I am grounded, I am able to take a stand for who I am and to support my heart then in engaging with people from that sense of who I am. I don't mean remotely in an aggressive way. I just mean your capacity to be yourself as you engage with others. So this is what we're talking about today. How do you live in your body in present time and stay grounded no matter the environment, no matter the situation? So I hope you'll join me when we come back from this break as we continue our conversation and hopefully our experience of groundedness today. Thank you all for joining me, and in the break, email a friend and get them to listen. Welcome back, everyone, and thank you for joining me today on Why Shamanism Now. This is your host, Christina Pratt, and we are talking about the basics of living well. This is part one of a little series that I'm doing for you. Today, August 19th, is about grounding and truth. Next week, August 26th, will be about cultivating core life force energy. And part three will actually be in September on the 16th, which will be the basics of boundaries and being in right relationships. So these are really basic practices for these three critically important things about being a human, which means you're an energy being living in an energy universe. And that energy body that you are needs to be maintained. So we are live today, as a nice lady said. Please feel free to call in or to email me at christina@lastmaskcenter.org. And as always, I'm asking you to spread the word, not just for the health and well-being of the show, but because the more people understand, the more broadly people understand about shamanism, the more common this understanding becomes, the more likely people are to get hooked up with their own helping spirits. And the more we have helping spirits in our life, the better quality decisions we will all make. This isn't about everybody becoming shamans. This is about all of us becoming better able to be high-quality humans, to make fine, excellent decisions in our life, to move in our life from the heart, and to live here together in a good way with all living things. These are critically important decisions for all of us to be making right now, and we will all be better able to make those decisions if we have working relationship with spirit. So when I ask you to spread the word and to invite people to join you to listen to the show or to download the show, I am doing it out of enlightened self-interest, not just for the show, but because I believe strongly from my experience in my life that we must make this shift. We must make this paradigm shift, or we will not come up with the decisions necessary to take us into our next and possible future. So, please, spread the word. And now back to our series. Today we are talking about grounding. So, grounding. To ground yourself is about being willing to show up and be present. And from a shamanic perspective, nothing really happens until you do that. Another way to understand that would be to say simply that life happens to you until you are willing to show up and be present. And you cannot show up and be present if you are not grounded. So if you don't understand how to ground yourself, life is going to just keep happening to you. And all you're going to be doing is spending your whole life playing catch up, putting out fires, and reacting to everything. And I don't know about you, but I am over the age of 29. I am tired of living that way. It's perfectly age appropriate as a teenager, even into your 20s, perhaps. But as we age, we must cultivate a new way to live. And if we cannot ground, we cannot show up and be present, and if we cannot do that, nothing else really begins. We can pretend. We can go through the motion. We can take classes. We can fill notebooks full of notes. We can do things. But how do we change our life? How do we begin to live in a different way? The rubber has to meet the road somewhere, and that's what grounding is. So, let's just all take a moment and just breathe. You're probably sitting or standing, listening to this. You might be walking. You might be listening to this as a download on your iTunes, on your iPod. But you're basically out there in the world, either sitting or standing, maybe lying down. Nonetheless, breathe. Just breathe in and out. No big deal, nothing fancy, just normal breathing. Just become aware of the breathing. And as you become aware of the breathing, allow your awareness to turn inward to that inner space that is breathing in and out, into the body, into an inner awareness. And as you're breathing, allow your inner eye to look backwards. What does it see? Does it see your skull? Does it see whatever's behind you, which means you're hovering somewhere above your head? Does it see a vertebrae, perhaps, in your spine? What do you see when you look backwards? Whatever you see, begin to breathe, and with each breath, work your way down. If you're seeing vertebrae, work down one vertebrae to the next. If you're not even in your head, you need to come into your head first, and then you'll see your skull. So you need to move down. Vertebrae by vertebrae, bone by bone, down your spine into your pelvis. Perhaps you're seeing energy. Then you're going to breathe and move down chakra by chakra. For those of you who understand chakras, who see energy, you most likely understand chakras. You're going to move down from energy space to energy space within the body. However it is that you have an internal awareness or an internal visualization, and if you've never done this before, see bones. Bones are real. Everybody's got them. Right? Just see the bones. Work your way down your spine or your chakras or whatever it is that's allowing you to visualize an inner space or imagine an inner space or even just sense an inner space. Allow I call it the ball of consciousness or this little energy ball of your awareness to make its way all the way down to the floor of your pelvis. All of you have no bones there. Boys or girls, you got no bones there, but you have muscles, tissue. You have a floor of the pelvis. The pelvis has a floor. And if you bring your awareness all the way down to the floor of the pelvis, you've brought your consciousness all the way down into your body, to the very floor of the pelvis. And just imagine as you breathe the floor of the pelvis opening and closing like a shutter on a camera. Opening and closing with your breath. If you never learn anything else, this simple visualization can be the beginning of your own practice of grounding. So, why does grounding work? Why does it matter? As you just kind of breathe in your body and listen to what I'm saying, or call in or email or whatever you want to do, why does it matter? Well, grounding works both ways, in essence, in terms of how we get misaligned with ourselves. One way we get misaligned with ourselves is we get stagnant, depressed, suffocated, stuck in a rut, blocked, resistant, all those energies, right? And what happens as we do that is it begins, we get stuck first right there in that base of your pelvis where you're breathing. And then it begins to move. The sort of stuckness begins to rise, kind of like stagnant water in a pool, begins to rise up. And our awareness just kind of keeps skittering up higher and higher to get away from dealing with that stagnation, that depression, that loneliness, that whatever that heaviness is. We keep skittering up, skittering up, skittering up the body as that undealt with stagnation rises until we're scurrying around in our head because we don't want to go into that stagnant pool of energy within ourselves. Not a pretty picture. But if you're willing to just dive with your grounding visualization back down to the pelvis and open up that space at the base of the pelvis, let the energies begin to pour out down in the center of the earth and begin to work with groundedness and this idea of grounding cord that I'll bring in here in a minute, that we begin to move the energy again. And just like the pump of your breathing, the beat of your heart, the willingness to just one heartbeat at a time, one breath at a time, one visualization at a time, one day at a time, to begin to stir this stagnant energy, to move it into expression. It is not innately bad or wrong. It's just stuck. What groundedness also does on the other side is it helps us to gather ourselves when we've been fragmented or scattered or spun out from our center, which is a really common way to go through our contemporary life for a whole number of reasons. And what to breathe into ourselves, to visualize that core channel of energy, to bring our awareness all the way down to the floor of our pelvis and to breathe, and to bring our awareness all the way down to the bottoms of our feet and to breathe, to imagine ourselves, or really do it, but at least to imagine ourselves standing on your favorite kind of earth, sand or dirt, mud, grass, whatever, to breathe into that core line of energy of grounding and then to call yourself back. When you are grounded, you can be as if you were a magnet that attracts your own energy back to you. And so just by breathing and being grounded and inviting yourself back in, you can call yourself back from wherever you've become scattered or fragmented. So either way, whether you're using grounding to deal with stagnation or fragmentation, by being grounded, you're allowing your mind that's trying to get through the day all by itself to connect into the body and to begin to draw again on the wisdom of the body for how to be here in the day. And frankly, it's really hard to be here as a manifest being, ignoring the wisdom of the part of yourself that's manifest. Your body's really smart about being here, but you have to be in the body and be grounded to be able to sense the body's wisdom. So groundedness allows you to deal with basic health problems, which are either stagnation or fragmentation, and to connect with the wisdom of the body, to follow your own innate intuitive sense of what to do with these energies. There are many, many processes you can study, like bioenergetics, rebirthing, Alexander technique, any of the bodywork stuff. Many of these practices that are processes to help you learn practices for grounding or groundedness. Your time and money are better spent learning these skills than asking someone to do a healing on you to do grounding. Why? Because grounding is not a wound. Grounding is a choice, not a healing. We're going to speak to this when we come back. So as we go to break, we'd like you to think about, what have you done today that innately grounded you or ungrounded? And as you think about this, please come back after the break and we'll continue our conversation about grounding. Welcome back, everyone. This is your host, Christina Pratt, and today we are discussing grounding. This is part one of the basics of living well. Part two will be next week. And part three will be on September 16th. So, I was just saying before we went to break that grounding is a choice, it's not a healing. So, what do I mean by that? We need to understand, as an energy being, that I need to reground myself every day. If all is going well in your life, You actually haven't been around all night while you were sleeping. You move deep into dreams as your soul communicated with you with your head out of the way. You got deep messages from your heart. You were moving deeply into a time of yin cultivation where your emotions, your heart life, and your deeper spiritual life are cultivated and massaged and worked. And so when you come back from this time of dreaming, you're not necessarily real grounded in your body. And that's good. That's what's supposed to happen at night in the dark. So as you wake in the morning to step into your day, is to choose to be here now, to step into your body, to step all the way in from your head into your heart, into your pelvis, into your feet, and deep into the earth. And that's the basic energy maintenance of a body. It's a choice to be grounded. And as all things that function at this level, at this energy body level, this is what they mean when they do that spiritual truth thing where they say form follows thought. In this arena, that is true. That is not true in all things, but it is true in a whole lot of really important things, and it's true here. So the way that you picture yourself and your energy, the way that you visualize that each morning becomes your energy habit. And that's the energy you will live in the day. So the more you visualize yourself in your body, grounded, connected to the earth, as a daily choice, let's say you do it 3 times a day, in the morning when you wake up, little check-in in the middle of the day, and then again in the evening once you get home. You will change your energy habit by simply attending to this idea of grounding, visualizing it, moving your energy there. Your form, the form of your energy, will follow your thoughts, the thought, the picture you have of being grounded. As you do that, you begin to cultivate an energy habit of being grounded. If you don't do that, you don't. It's really that simple. And so if I'm not grounded, if I'm chronically ungrounded, I can go to an energy practitioner who can do a healing on me to ground my energy. And the most benefit that I will get out of that is I will feel what it feels like to be grounded. And that's a good thing, because now I know what my target is, my energetic target is for my own grounding practice. But my energy will flow back into my habit. Rather quickly, actually, within days. My energy will flow back into what my strongest dominant energy pattern is. So if I do not take that transformation that healer gave me and immediately begin an energy practice of grounding so that I can cultivate that new energy habit, I'm going to go right back to the old way. So in other words, healing cannot fix your lack of groundedness. It is your choice to be grounded and your practice of grounding that heals your groundedness. Now, once in a while, I may bring back a soul part that carries the capacity for groundedness because a person was so terrified in their childhood it just wasn't safe to be here. So every once in a while, there is a core issue around groundedness that someone needs some deep fundamental healing to change. But that is rare. Mostly, we simply don't make the choice. So that's what I mean when I say grounding is a choice, not really a healing. And the main choice we need to make is simply to breathe. I am always shocked when people talk about their great yoga practice or their great Qigong practice or Tai Chi practice, some wonderful energy practice, where they do it daily, and it's good. And I say, great, then you know how to be grounded, and they look at me like a deer caught in the headlights. What we need to remember as Westerners is the traditional practices largely have been changed for us and our minute attention span, and the change to focus on ecstatic states, peak experiences, gaining more power, and all of the things this culture values, because those are the classes we pay for, because that's what we care about. We don't care about what's not sexy, and as I said, grounding's not all that sexy. But grounding is absolutely essential if you want any of these things to truly work over time. So what happened to these practices? Why do people who have yoga practices and Tai Chi practices not know how to be grounded? Because the practices were changed for us, and mostly the things that got left out is the breathing, is the focus internally, is the actions that support the cultivation of groundedness and energy that allow us then to move into the other parts of the practice in which we cultivate ecstatic states and peak experiences and power and all of that. And without the deeper work of grounding and cultivation of energy and focus internally, all those other things that we achieve through the practices, the ecstatic states, the power, etc., are spiritual ambition. They are an expression of false yang, and they are, in other words, right thing, wrong motivation. And they will ultimately deplete us. And the point, of course, of any of our energy practices is to cultivate energy, which is what we're going to talk about next week, basic levels of cultivating energy. So my point being, if you have an energy practice, bravo, learn the grounding aspect of your practice. They all have them. Ask for it. And study it, cultivate it, do it every day. So in my teaching, which is not fundamentally yoga or qigong based, but shamanism, we work with a visualization that interesting ties very easily into Taoism, nonetheless. The visualization, which I'll do here in a minute, connects us with two things that are very important about grounding, and I don't want to run out of time in telling you about them. The first thing is a sense of a grounding cord. So a grounding cord is a part of your energy body. It's not part of your physical body, unless you have a tail that we don't know about. But the grounding cord extends essentially from the base of your torso, where I invited you in the last section to breathe into that base of your torso. So the grounding cord extends from the base of your torso, and like a root of a, like a root of a tree, like the central taproot of a tree, or some cord of energy, a channel of light, however it is that you imagine it, it extends from the base of your body, or the center of your body, the belly of your body, down through all the layers of the earth, using your imagination, into the very center of the earth, or the belly of the earth. And that choice to connect your belly energetically to the belly of the earth is the fundamental practice of grounding. So first you need to get in your body to be able to even do that. But that's your grounding cord. That is the elemental piece of your energy body that does the grounding. Now there's also a movement of grounding energy that moves in our legs if we're awake and alive in our body and doing our energy practices. That is true. However, that energy in our legs is drawing off the energy of the grounding cord. So the energy of the grounding cord is very important. Okay? So the other thing that is important that I don't want to run out of time to talk about is what I call, this is a Christina-ism, you're not going to find this in any books about energy medicine, is the truth cord. And the truth cord is essentially a line of energy. Again, it's an imaginary energy that is part of our energy body. I believe everybody has this, it's just nobody talks about it. But it's a line of energy that goes from the highest power of the universe above through your body, down that grounding cord and into the center of the earth. And like a string on a stringed instrument, it is tied off at the highest power of the universe in the center of the earth. So this cord of energy resonates like a string on a stringed instrument. And this cord of energy needs to be tuned so that it resonates with the truth. And the important thing about the truth cord, then it allows your instincts and your intuition and your inspiration to resonate with the truth, a higher truth, a truth that is bigger than your own personal truth in the moment, so that you can feel the greater truths in life as you stumble over them. Because often, when we hear the truth, we do not like it. We would like to reject it. But if our truth cord is resonating inside of our heart, it's very hard to reject it. We often do not like the ramifications of the truth on our life. We often do not like the source of the truth. And these are reasons we reject the truth constantly. But if we cultivate groundedness, we can then cultivate a truth cord. And if we cultivate that truth cord, we can move through the day hearing the truth. Whether or not we want to do anything about it is a whole different issue. But the beginning of aligning yourself in an authentic life is to learn to hear your own truth. And to hear a truth that is coming from a place of authenticity, not just your own personal reactions in the moment. That's the important thing about the truth cord. It's not anchored at your head and your pelvis. It's anchored at the highest power of the universe and the deep center of the earth. It's bigger than you are. And thus it resonates with a higher sense of truth than any one of us lives at in any moment. But we have access. And this is the great gift of grounding, not only the presence in the body, but the ability to begin to hear your own truth and allow it to guide you into the authenticity of your own life. So I invite you all to come back after this break and join me in the final section of our show here today about groundedness and your choice to be here to show up and be present. Welcome back, everyone. This is Christina Pratt, your host for Why Shamanism Now, and we are speaking today about grounding. And we have an email from Sharon in Oregon. And her email is about drama. And she says here that contemporary young people, particularly teenagers and especially young women, seem to attract and thrive on drama in their lives. It would seem that grounding would empower them, as well as any of us, to attract more energy to propel us forward in our lives. Because grounding, in the sense to which you're speaking today, is not well known, do you have any ideas how to approach someone who is not familiar with this concept yet wants to have less drama in their personal life? Well, the first thing that I would say about bringing this concept to others is you have to do what Sharon is speaking to here. Is you need to make sure they really want it first. Again, it's not real sexy. It's a hard sell if people aren't asking the question. But if you do have someone in your life, a good friend, a teenager, someone who's just talking about being driven by their life, by the drama of their life, in other words, they're constantly reacting. Their life is living them, that you can tell them that there is another option. It requires that they begin each day, though, standing up for themselves. You can start with words like that and then have a visualization about literally standing on their feet, breathing into their feet, their knees, their hips, all the way up in their body, breathing into the whole body, and extending that grounding cord down. It doesn't have to be all woo-woo and fancy. You don't have to bring in the heaven and the earth and all the other things that I do in my shamanic practice. You can begin very practically and just work with the breath, work with the body, and the visualization of that cord extending down to the center of the earth. If people do that regularly, even teenagers daily, there is a sense of peace and stillness that begins to cultivate, and they can begin to make choices. I actually worked for a period of time with some 12 and 13-year-old girls, and this was one piece that, to the girl, every single one of them found value in their little contemporary school lives, is that ability in the midst of the drama of their life to become grounded, to breathe, and to have practices for being grounded. So it's not an advanced practice. It's a basic practice, which means it's available at all ages. So what I wanted to say is, if you've tried all of this stuff in your life, if this none of this is new news and you're like, right, Christina, I have tried all of this and this has not helped me, then yes, call me. You may be one of those people that has a fundamental issue around your energy at a soul loss level or an ancestral healing level and some deep level that keeps form from following thought. If these deep issues are going on, your energy won't follow your thoughts. That's the exception to that rule. And if that's going on for you, if you've truly tried all of this consistently over time and it isn't working, then contact me. This is work that can be done long distance. It most likely requires a shamanic intervention, and I'm more than happy to do that healing work. And if you already know the practices, it's going to be really easy because we'll fix what's not working, and then you'll be able to go right into those practices and make change in your life. It's pretty exciting. If you haven't done any grounding practices, but you think, suspect this is one of your issues in life, then try. Practice once a day for 30 days. If nothing changes, maybe there is a fundamental issue. Contact us. I'm happy to work with you long distance. But if you don't have any grounding practices, you've never heard any of this before, you don't do this sort of thing, then give it a month. And see if you can't begin to cultivate a change in your life. You're not going to have a rocket science, crazy trumpets and angels kind of change in 24 hours. Not 48 hours, probably not a week. But after that, as you begin to, remember, you've got to create a new energy habit for it to begin to change things. Give it a month. And then let us know. We're happy to help. So, I'm running out of time here. So much to say in so little time. I want to share with you a story a friend shared with me. He talked about one of the most powerful experiences he ever had around energy was being taken out by a teacher into an old-growth forest. And they were told by the teacher simply to go out and lie down and look up at the trees. And he went out into this old-growth forest, so we're talking big trees, and lay down at the base of one of these huge trees and looked up at this old-growth tree and began to breathe and just relax and breathe. He's out there in nature looking up at the trees, and the next thing he knows, he's merging with the tree. Now, you don't have to wait for this to happen spontaneously. You can do this on purpose. And if you have never even seen a magnificent tree, Google around. Find a picture of a magnificent tree. Technology is your friend. Find a tree that is worthy of merging with and merge with it. Just allow yourself to become the tree. And what he did is he found himself merging with the tree, and he began to feel not only the depth of that tree reaching into the earth, but the power then, because of that huge taproot that just was reaching deeply into the earth, just like your grounding cord could be, right? His energy reaching up to feel the branches and the sky and the sun and the air and the animals living in it, and then again the sap running down in the groundedness, and how it was the groundedness of that tree, all that was happening under the earth that was invisible, that allowed the magnificence of that tree to flourish in the world. That is the essence of grounding. And that visualization of becoming a tree, having a taproot, feeling your energy deep in the earth, and then how that rises up and supports you here in life, in the world, is one of the simplest paths for grounding. So we're coming to a close here, everyone. I just want to invite you to pick a visualization. Try it for a month. Let me know how it goes. This is, if you do nothing else all year as you listen to these shows, this would be the thing to choose to do. So I want to remind you that we'll continue with this series next week. And then there'll be a little break because we have great guests coming from the UK. Howard and Elsa Malpas will be talking with us about their work in England, their shamanic healing work in England. They're both great practitioners. They also happen to produce promote the Society of Shamanic Practitioners conference in the UK, which is booked solid this year with a waiting list. It's a really exciting conference about ancestral healing, so hopefully they'll speak with us about that. And then on September 9th, we'll have our final show for now with Ed Tick about the War and the Soul series, speaking hopefully about what we could have if we could create mature warriors in our culture, that final piece of healing the traumas that come from war. So this will be on September 9th, and then we'll come back after that on the 16th with our final show in this little series about the basics of living well in the world. So I would like to thank the ancestors for being with us here on this day and holding our circle strong that we might learn and grow and become one with our true and authentic selves. Thank the energy of the earth below us for supporting us and being there no matter how many days we forget that it is still there that day we remember to be grounded. We thank the energies of above for coming to us, to moving through us, and allowing us to draw that beautiful energy from above down through our bodies and into the center of the earth so that we can learn to show up, be present, to be here now. And finally, I give thanks to the energy of the heart that unites us all. May we all go forward in a good way on this day. Thank you all for joining me today with Why Shamanism Now. As you all know, these shows are downloadable from the Voice America website or from iTunes. Please feel free to share them with your friends. Any more information you would like about my work and my teaching is on the website lastmaskcenter.org. And the Encyclopedia of Shamanism is available for you there in paperback, and that's the easiest and least expensive way to get that encyclopedia. So for any other information or any questions, you're welcome to email me at christina@lastmasscenter.org, or you can get to us through the website, through the contact information. Thank you all very much for joining me this week, and I hope to speak with you next week when we talk about the basics of living well, core life force cultivation. Thank you all. Have a great week, and don't forget to ground.